kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does, our global domination, at least we hope, of the podcast world, the iHeart family of podcasts. You can hear the Fifth Hour every week. You know that already, so you've downloaded it. And here we are, ta-da, with this weekend's edition of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller and David Gascon. Now, we will have a lot to talk about today, I think. It's going to be very interesting to see if we can pull this one off. There's some behind-the-scenes maneuvering, which you don't need to know about. I was told by a program director early in my radio career, they don't need to know how you make the hot dogs because no one will eat the hot dogs. But we have some technical issues, as they say, but we are here for you, and you don't really care about that. And we'll probably edit all that out of the podcast anyway, so it won't matter. So it'll sound smooth. It'll sound clean. But on this edition of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, we have Golden Mike Worthy, only in Burbank. We have an extended study this. We also have an extended segment where you send in questions. It's like a ripoff of Ask Ben. And then we also have Don't Stick to Sports. That's quite the menu, Gascon, for today's podcast. We'll see if we can actually pull it off.
I think we can, especially because I'm loud, proud, and in charge. And you feel like you are fully recuperated from your gallbladder mishap.
Well, mostly, although my latest issue is that the wound is healing, and it's at the point now where I want to scratch it. I want to pull the top of the wound off.
You had stitches that were yanked out, but were any of the stitches dissolvable stitches?
No, they were not. I had a bunch of staples in one part of my chest, and then I had the other ones are not that big a deal. They're little small minor incisions, and those don't bother me. But the main one, I'm going to take my fingernails and pull the scab off. I think it would feel so good.
Well, don't forget, whatever you do this time around with post-surgery habits, we get to live stream your colonoscopy next year, so we're all looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
An annual tradition, Ben Maller in the ICU.
Thank you. Well, only working with you, and I want to point out, I will win some kind of award from iHeartMedia for coming in a day early to do this podcast, because we typically record on a certain day, but Gascon decided that he had to book something during that window, the holy window, the Goldilocks zone podcasting.
I love how you take shots at some of the broadcasting efforts that I have, and they don't line up with your genre. So.
Well, it is all about me, but I Howard Stern wouldn't do this, Colin Cowherd wouldn't do this, but here I am. I am able to change my schedule. The flexibility, the adaptability that I have to do this, Gascon. You'll be buying me a meal to make up for the inconvenience you have provided me, and I look forward to that.
Speaking of a meal, I'm happy to report we'll
get to that. We'll get to that. Don't get ahead of us. All right. Let's start with the Golden Mike. Everyone wants to know, Gascon. Everyone wants to know, what was it like? Magical television, the podcast duo, united on camera, the Fox Sports Go app. It was an amazingly competitive high school football playoff game in Southern California with Jay Serra and Centennial. And we had it last Friday. We were there out in the IE, just near Riverside, calling that game, and I thought it went pretty well. The game was terrible.
It was.
It was a pathetically bad game, but I had fun.
Yeah, I think in honor of a great gymnast, Simone Biles, I think we stuck the landing.
Yeah.
I think most importantly, if anyone's curious, we did the open on one take and one take only.
That's right.
Which is important. Yeah. I will say with the open, though, you look like you were swimming in your attire.
Yeah.
And
I was, because I have all my clothes are from when I was like a lot fatter. So I don't have any skinny clothes, and I won't buy them because I'm still trying to lose weight, and clothes are expensive. And also I figure my wife's always like, oh, let's go buy clothes. I'm like, well, no, because like last time I lost a lot of weight I bought some new clothes, and then I gained the weight back, but I'd gotten rid of my old clothes.
Well, don't pile the weight back on, dummy.
Well, no, I don't plan on piling the weight back on. I didn't plan on piling the weight back on when I lost the weight initially. But most people that lose a lot of weight, they gain a chunk of it back, and that's what happened to me. But now I've lost a lot of what I had gained back.
Yeah, and just to tell the audience, though, how bougie you are, you actually showed up to the game with a stylist and a makeup artist, which is bullshit. I did not. I was independent.
I had my posse with me. I had the Mather posse that was keeping me company there and following me around. And I'm very happy to report to the militia behind the scenes that Gascon almost got his car towed at the high school football game, but was able to talk the rent-a-cop to not tow his car in a heated conversation. This is what I showed up to. I go there, I park, and Gascon is like nose to nose with this rent-a-cop who's ready to throw down, and you call the police in there, call a tow truck and have Gascon's car towed away. Again, parking, Gascon. Parking is the devil for you.
Well, he asked, what am I doing here? And I'm like, well, what are you doing here? He's like, who are you? And I said, I'm David. Who are you? and he said, well, why are you parking here? And I said, well, because I was told to park here, so I'm going to park here.
Yeah.
And then he says, well, I don't know who you are. I was like, I don't know who you are either. What do you want? And then I told him I eventually worked for Fox. He's like, well, you didn't say that. And I said, well, you didn't ask. And then he went on his way.
You did escalate the situation, though.
I probably did.
You did.
But
you
the
did.
Fact that he didn't know what was going on when somebody else that he works with allowed us to park there was a little aggravating.
Well, I was just happy. I felt like I won the day because I didn't have to pay for parking. The fact that they charge for parking at a high school football game is fascinating.
Well, they charge at the gate for people to enter. They charge for condiments and food and drinks.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I did something for you, Ben, that you have never done for me. I got you free parking. I got you compensated for your work. I got you comfortable seating, and I got you dessert.
I want to tell you, the people that run the Fox Sports Go app or that company, they've not sent a check yet. I do not have any compensation. So it is just hearsay that I am going to end up getting paid. There is no actual factual check that has arrived yet with the dollar amount said to be paid to me for that broadcast.
Well, for the record, you need to fill out a W-9 and an invoice. And if you're not too lazy to do that and email it back to the people that I directed them to, then that'll happen. So.
Well, I've never got an email with the W-9 form to fill out.
It's online. You could just go to www.gov.com.
I need it handed to me. That's how I operate.
You want a script handed to you so you can what?
Well, I want to be like you.
Oh,
yeah. I know that whole opening, you scripted it out, man. You had it all right there on a teleprompter. I mean, who uses a teleprompter for a live sports broadcast?
We did not
David
have a
Gascon.
Teleprompter.
You're like Obama with the teleprompter.
No.
Reading off the prompter.
No.
Your nickname's Prompter. That's your new nickname. Prompter Gascon.
Prompter G?
Yeah, Prompter. That's how you do it, man.
I will acknowledge the fact that the hat and the black and blue checkered plaid coat were dashing.
Yeah, I like that. Like we'll talk about the future. Who knows? But if I do more of that stuff anywhere, I would like to get more. I want to channel my inner the late Craig Sager, and we talked about it. We kidded around about that last week. And Don Cherry, the outrageous outfits on television. I think that's the way to go. I want to point out though that we promised. I was not allowed to do the Collinsworth slide. We wanted to do the Collinsworth slide. I had practiced the Collinsworth slide. I had practiced the kind of lean in and smile, goofy. But the setup would not allow that. The way the cameras were set up and the way the chairs didn't roll. Like Collinsworth has a chair that rolls in the press box. We had these little stools that we were sitting on. So I could not like move the stool over and slide it, even though there was that nice fake grass there, that plastic grass that they had at the high school stadium.
That was the only disappointing part of the night, that and you could not show off your football socks.
Yeah, I had special football socks because I'm a baller, and I had those on.
But your pants were so baggy, you couldn't even rock them up so we could take a picture of it.
Well, I could have if somebody had asked. I would have pulled the pants.
No, because it looked like you were wearing pajamas. Those things were so big and baggy.
Wow. Thank you for that. My vanity, I really appreciate that. But
you're like the equivalent of the Josh Baskins in Big when the kid turns to Tom Hanks and Tom Hanks turns young again, mm-hmm. he's got that giant suit on. That was you.
Well, I have turned young again.
I make you feel young. Let's go through the list, though. You have 2019. You have Bit Your Tongue, Making a Pizza. Yeah,
that's right. Burned and bit my tongue. Don't forget that.
Gallstones and a gallbladder removed.
That is correct.
Car hit.
Yes, got the Mallermobile back last week.
You wore makeup to a prep game, a high school game.
Yes, hadn't been to a high school game since I was in high school, probably. Hadn't done a TV game like that. Like, I did TV at NBC years ago, but that was a studio show. I had not done since I was at Saddleback College, I think was the last time I did a sporting event on television like that.
That's good.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Now, the letter grade, I feel like you'd get an A-. I would give myself a B+. But my mate, you do this all the time. Like, this is you love hanging out at high schools and stuff. Like, you're a creeper. You hang out at the high schools and all that stuff. So,
I don't,
this was new to me, and you kind of knew the formatics of getting information. That was the worst part because there was not a lot of it's high school football.
Yeah, you'd have to really appreciate what I do for research.
Not really. I don't appreciate it, but I'm just saying that I don't.
For fuck's sake.
When I do a show, I feel like I know everything or most things about the teams we talk about in pro sports and big time college sports.
Yeah.
The information's easily accessible.
Yeah.
There was no information. And you guys are teenagers. You know, it shouldn't be a lot of information about these guys playing high school football. So that part kind of was and I did as much as I could to find information. And the coaches were very nice, and they were cool and stuff like that.
Well, it does help that you had a former NFL player as one of the head coaches, which is great, and Pat Harlow.
Yeah, Pat Harlow was very nice. His team lost 56-0.
Yeah. I think the come-to-Jesus moment for me that night was as soon as I mentioned the name General Booty, because then you went on this, let's just all of a sudden name off Chubby Cox, and Fair Dick, and
Fair Hooker, not Fair Dick. Fair Dick, that's a basketball player. Fair Hooker's a football player.
Wasn't Dick Pohl also a?
We didn't. I don't think I mentioned Dick Pohl. Yeah. That's a good one. Dick Pohl, the old pitching coach, Rusty Kuntz.
Yeah.
Many people pronounce it Rusty. You know what? But I could have done that also.
You did that for me during a high school game. That's amazing.
I know you'll get the ratings and all that because it was on the Fox Sports Go app. One thing about the internet is you have the analytics on exactly how many people are watching. But I'd love to know. This is one of the great acid tests, Gascon, here. This high school football game, which is a Golden Mike worthy event, is that if we actually had anyone watching in the fourth quarter, that is amazing because – I mean, the game was over at halftime. The game was probably over at the end of the first quarter.
Right.
But for anyone to tune in on a Friday night for a high school football game, and there were people on the Malheur list. This is an acid test for the Malheur militia. Like, your P1, just by downloading this podcast, you're at a higher level, right? Because,
right.
I mean, listen, you know, out of your way, it's not the radio show, it's different, so you have to download it. So you're at a different level just downloading this. But then to spend your very valuable Friday night watching a high school football game where chances are you don't have no interest at all because you're not even in Southern California. And even if you're in Southern California, you didn't go to those high schools, so who the F cares?
Right.
And in the fourth quarter, and I was very proud, Eddie, when I saw Gascon. I'm tired. When they put the graphic up and it said Ask Ben,
we did a
rogue hostile takeover of the high school football broadcast on the Fox Sports Go app. And we did ask Ben. We did a few questions in the fourth quarter. That was great. That warmed my heart.
You're welcome.
It was awesome.
You're welcome.
Well, otherwise,
thank you.
Well, remember I told you, I said, otherwise I'm going to just leave. Remember I said, because it's 56-0, I have things to do.
Yeah.
And no one's watching. So, but fortunately, and that's the other thing, Gascon. Unlike these other guys, you know, Joe Buck, when he does a game and it's 28-0 at halftime, Joe Buck gives 7 different ways the other team can come back.
Yeah.
I said the game's over. I didn't dance around and say, hey, so-and-so is going to come back. No, the game, it's over.
There's a lot of language that's used for pregame, postgame, and even in-game analysis and commentary.
Yeah.
But the thing that you hit the nail right on the head is one of the top players for Jay Sarah was out, and you said it in the open, well, that sucks.
Yeah. I got that from sportscliche.com. That's where I learned that from. But you had
sportscliche.com open during the game.
On my laptop. By the way, no bad job by Centennial High School. No workable Wi-Fi for the Fox Sports Go crew. So I had to use my cell phone data to connect, which was kind of an annoyance. But that did happen. So, but anyway, listen, here's the deal. It was fun. I had a good time. You're very good, Gascon. I don't want to give you too many compliments. You already have a big ego. People were asking me on email, are you going to do this again? I said, I don't know. That's up to Gascon. That's up to what kind of muscle he has. I also would like to point out to those that think I should be doing every high school game. I don't want to do every high school game. I don't. My wife would kill me if I did that every week because I already work 5 nights a week. I don't see her 5 nights a week. So if I did that on every Friday, I would probably have to get a divorce. So I don't want to do it, but I wouldn't mind doing it like every once in a while, like maybe once a month or something like that. I wouldn't mind doing that, but that's out of my control. But it was fun. I had a good time. It was a good time.
It was an opportunity for your wife to see you out of your own element and into a different broadcast medium.
Broadcast medium, the internet.
Because you're in a studio here at Fox Sports Radio, so there's not really an opportunity for her to come in and see what you do. And when you're over at NBC, when you're on the East Coast, she couldn't go out there to see you. So this is a little bit different of a flavor. And as she said, it got you out of your comfort zone. So
it did. It did get me out of my comfort zone. And the cool thing about, and I knew, I remember this when I was doing stuff in college, doing games on local cable television back when that was a thing, before the internet took over and all that. But back in college, I was like, when the only time you do a sporting event on TV, the only time you're really on TV is the open and like at the end of the, beginning of the next quarter, when they put you on camera. Otherwise, just like radio, you're not on camera. So it doesn't matter. You can just say whatever you want. And, there's photos, but you can talk.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun, Gascon, with the replays, like recapping the play. I felt like mad. I gave some booms, bams. Yeah. I gave some of those in the replay game. I had a fun time with that. That was good.
And I didn't step on you. I got some grades from my dad. He's big into the media.
Oh, your old man watched the game?
He gave some feedback. And says you guys had really good chemistry. I'm not surprised. I think you should be a the number two on his overnight show Monday through Friday.
Tell your pops that you do not do overnights. Your body cannot handle the overnight lifestyle. The grind. we overnight people are a special breed.
Yeah, indeed.
And yeah,
not sober.
Well, I don't know about that. The people that call up, many of them are not sober. But I don't know what.
Well, they're asleep.
They're asleep?
Yeah, half the people that call are usually asleep, and then you get that little pussy willow, Chris from Houston, so...
Oh, that guy's been out of control, man.
You got a combination.
I had an epiphany the other day. We've been battling about the Astros for the last, 10 days or whatever, since that story came out in The Athletic. My theory is that Chris he's just being a troll, that he doesn't really believe. He said earlier this week that there's no evidence against the Astros. No credible evidence against the Astros. There's hundreds of videos. There's a whistleblower who said what happened. The commissioner of baseball's pretty much, beaten around the bush about what exactly happened. Oh, there's no evidence. I think he's just doing that because he gets a rise out of me. I think that's what's going on with that wackadoodle.
That's the only deflection he has right now because the Houston Texans got slapped around in week 11 by the Baltimore Ravens, so he's got nothing else to chew on.
Well, no, he's got the Rockets. Yeah, he's got the Rockettes.
It's early in the season. You can't talk about the Rockets or the NBA.
Well, you can't. According to the ratings, no one's watching the NBA. I mean, I feel bad. Like, I like talking, mixing in some NBA with my football.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like I shouldn't do that. It's because no one's watching these games. Like, they're getting ratings that are they're going down to the level where it's like – less than a million people watching a TNT game, that almost never happened.
Well, and that's why Sunday night I told you, or at least I asked you, if you could do an opening monologue of Jay, Sarah, and Centennial and how that game wrapped up, but you refused to do so. So,
well, I put that in the sixth hour with Ben Maller. The sixth hour with Ben Maller and Blind Scott, that podcast. Very popular podcast.
You had people from the UK, from New Zealand, from Australia, anywhere else outside the United States? Anyone in Canada?
Canada. Well, these people, I don't know how many of them actually watched. I had people RSVP, like say, I'm going to watch, I'm so-and-so. We had people that were apparently unable to watch because the Fox Sports Go app is only available in certain places.
That's not true. I sent it to Terry, and Terry's in the UK.
Terry in England, yeah.
He can't access that stuff, so I sent him a link to it, and he used the VPN to access the the web stream. So
No, it was cool. I mean, Terry's a big, he's a super fan. Plus, he's got a time zone advantage and all that. It's much earlier. This was not an overnight. They didn't play the high school game to accommodate me. If it had accommodated me, it would have been much later than the kickoff because I had to deal with something I don't normally deal with, rush hour Los Angeles traffic to get out to that high school football game. And I'm so happy I work overnights and don't have to deal with that. What a nightmare. What an effing nightmare it is. I played pea soup I played the letter game and the number game it was like bingo with the freeways.
Did you have any big lifters, big swingers that were watching this game? Any TV executives?
Well, I know my friend Sports with Coleman had sent a link to Kenny Albert from Fox to watch the game. Kenny, as always, lives in a hotel room because he does a game every night. He's in a different city, whether it's hockey, basketball, or football. I don't know if Kenny actually watched, but he had a link. He had an option to watch. And then other than that, you know, there are some super P1s that work in the big, powerful positions in media. I don't know how many of them actually watched. They didn't offer me a contract after the game. They didn't send me an email saying, hey, we'd love to hire you. You're wonderful.
Did they ask for my contact information?
They don't know who you are. They do not know who you are. I'm sorry. They do not. Who's that? What's that? What's his name?
Well, yeah. I had to do as much as I could to publicize myself because half the game was spent plugging your show.
I know. That was pretty good. Yeah. I was very happy. You know, sometimes people aren't very generous, but I figured since it's like, 35-0, maybe we should just help out and promote something here. But before I forget, I want to get on to it only in Burbank. We'll get to that in a minute. But I would like to point out that after the game, we were already out in the IE, so we went deep in the IE. We went into the land that gave us Kawhi Leonard,
that's
Riverside.
Right.
Yeah. And I hadn't been to Riverside in a long time. Is there actually a river in Riverside,
probably.
Southern California?
It's probably dried up.
Okay, I've never seen an actual river. If your town's named Riverside, there must be a majestic, beautiful river. There was none. I did not see. But anyway, we were hanging out in Riverside. We went to the Cheesecake Factory in
that's
Riverside.
Right.
A fine location, very nice people there at the Cheesecake Factory in Riverside, and I paid for the meal.
You paid off a bet.
You got your little cheesesteak.
Yeah, it's a California cheesesteak.
And you devoured that. You were like, you hadn't eaten in days.
Well, that's what happens when one of us actually says that they're going to fast and ends up fasting, and another one cheats and eats at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day.
Yeah, well, one of us is married, and their wife dragged them to a family lunch with the in-laws to have a nice meal. And I was forced. I was like, well, maybe I'll just have a glass of water, and I'll have some nice conversation. No, you're eating. So I had to eat. So.
And I gave you some great apple cake as well.
God, that apple cake was amazing. We talked about that on the game if you watched it. But you got to get more of that, man.
Yeah.
You got to sell that stuff is what you got to do. I don't know what's in that, but that's amazing, that apple cake.
Yeah, I think that kind of rivals anything that Tammy has gotten us throughout the years because that dessert was fantastic. So.
Well, Tammy's hooked us up. I had a listener send me a whole bag of Cadbury eggs. I love Cadbury eggs.
Those are good.
Those are wonderful.
Yeah.
And
Tammy's gotten us tarts, though, and cakes.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tammy had a hookup at this bakery in L.A.
For close
one
down.
Of her friends, and unfortunately, it's not around anymore, but the bakery made these amazing cakes back a couple years ago, probably why I gained all my weight back. We had like a camel cake.
Yeah.
Remember I did a rant about Adrian Peterson having a camel at his birthday party, his 30th birthday party, and she had a cake design with a camel. They had a Chuck the Condor recreation, which was amazing. These were works of art, these cakes. And I hope that whoever was behind the woman behind that bakery, I hope she's doing okay because she's really talented. Like, she's a really good baker, and she should be doing stuff, making money doing that.
That reminds me, since you love documentaries so much and we're talking about baking and cooking, you need to go on Amazon Prime and watch this documentary called Charged.
Charged.
I will leave it at that, but you watch it, and if anyone's watched it on Amazon Prime, don't spoil it for Ben. Please do not, but it is a documentary that as soon as you start watching it, you're going to be like, what the fuck am I watching? But
Charged.
You will, yes.
Okay.
It is.
Right now I'm going through, I love The Toys That Made Us. I just watched the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles episode, which was fascinating. I love it. And I'm told that Amazon Prime, I think we talked about this last week somewhere, I don't know, it was here or the radio show, that a comedian who's a fan. He said that all of the Ken Burns documentaries are available now on Amazon Prime. And so there's like he did one about country music, which is actually more of a thing about radio and stuff like that. So I am looking forward to getting some of that, but I don't have a lot of time doing these high school football games on the weekend, guest God. I did not. My documentary watching time went way down because Friday nights I usually watch a lot of documentaries.
What do I do? Sit around and watch a documentary or go do a game and get paid?
A 56-0 game and have to. I didn't actually get paid as much because I have
do,
to.
Would you rather do a podcast and not get paid for that?
I would never do a podcast I don't get paid for, guest God, unless I would. Yeah. I would never do that unless I would do a podcast and not get paid a cent.
And we're on Apple TV. I'm happy to report that.
Oh, is that right?
We're on Apple TV.
Shout out my homeboys on Apple TV.
Yeah. That's good.
That is good. We're everywhere, man. We're everywhere. It's like that Johnny Cash song, everywhere, man.
Yeah.
I've been everywhere. I'm on the dusty Winnemucca Road.
You're a married man. I don't think you want to admit that in front of a national or international audience.
I don't mean like that, but there is actually a Winnemucca Road. Did you know that? That's a famous line in a Johnny Cash song. It's outside Vegas, and I told my wife, I said, next time, I'm going to go to Vegas over the gap. I might take some time off at the end of the year, and I might head to Vegas. And I said, I'm going to go outside Vegas and go to Winnemucca Road just to take a photo with the Winnemucca Road sign. That's what my move's going to be.
Wait, are you going to eat some chicken fingers with it?
Yeah, of course. I'm all about the chicken fingers, man. Right. Why not?
That's good.
I had chicken fingers with you. It was fine. It was a good meal.
They were. The missus had a salad. I had a California cheesesteak.
We had a lot of bread. Bread.
I devoured the bread, yes.
You did. I love the bread, too.
I had no alcohol. You should be happy.
Yeah. I want to point out, since I had to pay for your meal, that it actually cut down on how much I made during the high school football game. Even though I haven't made anything.
You paid off a bet. Yeah. That's exactly what you did.
Moving on. Anything else you want to add before we move on?
Big thanks to people that actually listened or watched or appeared to. We got very little fat shaming, which is awesome. We didn't get as much hateful comments.
I got a lot of comments about my hat. People were fascinated. Some said I pulled it off. Other people said I should just let my bald head be shown on television. So there was that, which was pretty good. And again, for those of you that have been emailing me, I don't know that that'll ever happen again. It might happen again. I don't know, but it's that's up to the powers that be. All right, so moving on from that, only in Burbank. So on Saturday, the day after our high school game, updating my life, my dad is a huge fan of Dennis Prager, my old man Dennis. So Dennis Prager had a documentary that came out. And it was actually playing in movie theaters, but it was very select movie theaters. And it was a limited release. And I didn't know how long it was going to be in theaters. I didn't have that information. And so, anyway, I felt like, you know what? Let me do a solid for my old man. Let me do a solid for my old man. So why don't we go out and I'll take him to see the movie? The problem was it was only playing in Burbank. Right, only in Burbank. But my dad, who never leaves the Orange County area where he lives, the OC, because you know he's old and he doesn't like leaving the OC. He very rarely comes up here, etc. So anyway, I convinced him to drive to the Maller Mansion, the second Maller Mansion. He lives at the original OG Maller Mansion, and so he showed up, and I drove him the rest of the way to Burbank, and it was no safe spaces with the documentary. It was Dennis Prager, and it was Adam Carolla's documentary. And it was about the college campuses now, and there anything you don't agree with, you want banned from college campuses. And it was pretty good. I liked the documentary. I thought it was good. My dad enjoyed it. He was happy to get out of the house, and he was really happy I bought him popcorn and paid for the movie. He was very happy about that. He enjoyed that very much. So fine, you know, we watched the documentary, did our thing, and all that, and then we watched it, we had our fun, and then afterwards we're walking back, they had a little street fair in Burbank, walking around doing that, you know, and all that, and then I go to the parking garage to leave the parking garage, and as I am leaving the parking garage, I'm stuck in traffic. There was a lot of traffic in the parking garage. And hand to God, driving past me in a blue Beamer was Adam Carolla, who had been apparently the next showing. Adam was going to give a spiel about the documentary, but I went to the early showing because that was the only one I could make because I had some other plans and all that. But yeah, I mean, that only happens in Burbank, where you can see a documentary where someone is in the documentary, and then, you know, two people, you know, semi-famous people, and then as you're leaving the parking garage, you see the person that was in the documentary. It's crazy, man.
Was it good?
The documentary?
Yeah,
the documentary was pretty good. I enjoyed it. You know, well, part of it I agree with. I think it's ridiculous. I grew up with disagreement, and I'm fine with disagreement. I have no problem with disagreement. And I think it's ridiculous the way people react. We had that stupid Charles Barkley story earlier this week,
right?
Where someone was told a joke by Barkley and tried to make herself the story. And these things just annoy me. So I did enjoy it. I thought it was pretty good. You should check it out, Casey. I think it's still playing, actually, if you have a chance. I know you're very busy with these high school games. But,
well, I commute all around the Southern California area, so that includes driving to Arizona to go see your ass and certain holiday parties now. And I could do that if it's in Burbank. It's not too far away from our Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, but I can certainly do that. I'm surprised that it's not in many more theaters. But
well, it might be now, but I didn't want to take the chance because sometimes these documentaries, my wife, by the way, doesn't like to watch documentaries in the theater. She thinks that it's only for blockbuster movies. You should only watch documentaries like on Netflix or Amazon Prime. So she wasn't, she had a baby shower to go to anyway, so she wasn't that into it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But moving on, study this, Gascon. That's right. Everything's working now, Gascon. We can move on to study this. I know you're excited. Yes?
Yes, of course.
All right. These are actual studies. Now, the way this works, I love these studies, and we determine on the fifth hour with Ben Maller whether these studies are legit or they're bullshit. All right? We believe them or not. Now, the first study is all about dirty tech. Now, they say that tens of millions of people carry their smartphones with them, obviously everywhere. I mean, if you have a smartphone, you're going to the bathroom, you're going to the shower, you're going to make love, you've got the smartphone right next to you.
Yeah.
Right? We all do it. And so here's the thing. The phone is exposed to whatever bacteria we are exposed to. Like, yes. But most of us wash our hands, right?
Yeah, most of us do.
Yeah. According to a new survey of Americans and their cleaning habits, what percentage of people have never cleaned their phone? What percentage of Americans have never cleaned their phone?
I'm going to say 84%.
I mean, you just ruined it. It's not 84%. Because you got to remember, people have to admit to it. A lot of people won't admit to not cleaning their phone.
Well,
All right. You ruined the bit. That's 23%. Okay. 23. One in four people have never cleaned their phone. One in four.
All right.
And they say they broke it down by gender. It said more than one in four men have never cleaned their phone. It's like 26%.
I can believe that.
One in five women have actually admitted to not washing their phone at all. And as far as how dirty phones can get, according to this study, the researchers estimate that a regularly used smartphone, you're out and about, hustle and bustle of the big city.
Yeah.
That has never been cleaned has more bacteria, they say, than the entire household bathroom that you are holding in your hand. If you never clean your phone, you're holding a toilet in your hand.
A phone full of shit.
Yeah.
And think about this, because not only are you holding your phone, but also your earbuds, which I doubt there's a high percentage of people that clean their earbuds. The earwax, the earbuds get dirty no matter where you put them. If you put them down, if you put them in a bag, you put them in your glove compartment box, those get dirty. Most people, I venture to guess, a lot of people don't wash their hands for some reason after they use the restroom, after they relieve themselves or have sex or eat food or any of that stuff, you included.
Hey, by the way, I'm going to go on a rant about headphones, like these expensive headphones.
$150, for the earbuds.
No.
I can't.
What
do
a scam! I can't. I don't get it. I know it's cool and you're hip like that. I don't know. I'll go to the Dollar Tree or whatever and get headphones. I don't need that.
But
I have nice headphones for radio. But I'm a professional broadcaster, plausibly a professional broadcaster. But really, earbuds?
Yeah, but you're one of those old folks that has to hold your phone to your head when you drive in your car, right?
No. What do you mean?
Do you have hands free in your car?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
That car's like 30 years old. Or is it
it's just not 30 years old, you schmuck.
The paint job is.
It's not 30. How dare you?
Well, most people have hands free. So if you can be hands free and not have to worry about cables and cords and all that stuff when you're working out or walking or at work, then why not? It's a combination. I couldn't use it because I'd lose it. That's my problem. I'd drop it. It'd fall on my ear. I'd step on it. I'd break it.
I used to have a Bluetooth back in the day.
Yeah, of course you did.
Had a Bluetooth.
Did you have your right pant leg folded up too?
Wow.
Like the FUBU attire? Ben Maller and FUBU?
Oh, anyway, just to finish this, I'm moving on. I'm ignoring you. Here's the various forms of bacteria and disease. Strep, staph, and E. coli.
Ooh.
All could be on your phone. So...
E. coli on my phone?
Yes. You especially, probably. The places you go and the people you hang out with.
I hang out with some fine people.
I don't know about that.
I hang out with some wonderful people.
That's not what I hear. I do notice, though, when you go hang out with these certain people, you suddenly stop returning my text. I guess it's easy to figure out when you hang out with these certain people, suddenly you don't get back to me. It's a giveaway. It's a dead giveaway because normally whenever I text you, you will get back to me like within a second because you have no life. But occasionally you have a life and you don't get back to me.
That's the spice of life, right? You got to have a little bit of variety in the life. That's exactly what I have.
I don't know about that. So essentially, whoever you hang out with there, these people do not allow you access to your phone.
That's not true. I am an accommodating person when it comes to text messages and phone calls, but I try to keep myself on the subject or the individuals that I'm hanging out with and not stuck to my phone because I am like the majority of the people in the United States. I can't get rid of my phone, and so I got issues with it. So it's like glued to my hip. So it's nice to unplug and escape for a short period of time.
All right. Next study, sports hyperbole.
Why are you dismissing what I do with my phone?
Because I don't believe you. All right. Sports hyperbole, hyping up one team or athlete over another. Now, we know that it's good for the box office, it's good for sports radio, it's good for television ratings and professional sports, but a new study done by Duke University claims that if the players on the other side of the field pay too much attention to all the hype and all the noise, it will negatively affect their performance. How about that? They studied tennis matches and over 5 million online chess matches, and they determined this research. I think this is bullshit.
It's an individual sport. I would imagine if you use golf in that same kind of testing, it'd probably be similar.
Well, my experience as a gambler, and we do Benny versus the Penny, which will be up later, but my experience as a gambler is, typically, a lot of hype affects the people you're hyping.
Yeah.
See the Cleveland Browns. See Baker Mayfield. These people start buying into the hype that they're God's gift to whatever sport, and whether they don't put the work in or they just let it get to their head, that's my experience, that it actually hurts more the people that are being hyped up than the other team. I would think, as a competitor, if you're on the other team, you would love the opportunity to bring them down a couple of notches, right? Wouldn't you love that?
Yeah, of course. The underdog role is something even the Patriots kind of revel in at times, and that's what you want to have. Do you gamble on tennis, by the way?
Oh, God, no.
I do.
No.
Football and tennis, a little bit of baseball, but if you can gamble on tennis, you don't have as many outlying factors that go into the results of the match, which is beautiful.
Well, that's because you live near the Pacific Ocean. See, I don't.
So the further you get away from the Pacific,
because that's tennis people. You live near tennis people.
No,
you grew up
not.
In the one percenters and all that with the tennis people. I'm out here with the working man. I'm a blue collar guy.
Wow.
Blue collar people aren't tennis people.
That's not
We're
true.
Not. That... We aren't. I speak for all blue collar people. We're not.
You definitely do not.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Robotic jousting. How about this one?
Oh, no.
This is, again, kind of tied with the last story, although it's a different study. This is from Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. Trash talk hurts, even when it comes from a robot. How about that? The study from Carnegie Mellon determined and demonstrated that disparaging words can fluster an opponent no matter who or what utters them. That's right. According to a new study, humanoid robot Pepper mocked and taunted game players admiring zingers like, administering rather zingers like, "I have to say you are a terrible player, and over the course of the game your playing has become confused." And they claim that this did work, and it did cause the other person to perform more poorly.
I forget what country it is. I think it might be China. But did you know they are manufacturing robotic men to act as boyfriends and husbands now for women?
Well, I know they have robotic women, androids, that men enjoy. Maybe not as girlfriend or wife, but doing other things with. Yes.
Like what? Cooking?
Yeah. Remember during the Olympics in, was it Russia? They had brothels with androids.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that? You go in and, which makes you wonder, it's not a person. It looks like a person, but is that cheating?
No.
You're in a dungeon somewhere with an android. Is that cheating?
Is it cheating if you don't finish?
Wow. Well, you would know more about that.
No.
I finish what I start. That's what I do. Usually too soon. But anyway, all right.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Moving on, genetics of veggies. Genetics of veggies. Now, I love this story, and I will use this story. I will put this in my back pocket. And this is from the University of Kentucky School of Medicine in Lexington.
All right.
Says, if you've never been able to enjoy the taste of vegetables like broccoli or Brussels sprouts, and you can't understand how other people actually do enjoy the taste, it turns out that you may be going through an issue that you have different taste buds when you bite into a forkful of veggies.
I believe that.
According to a new study, and I think I have this, it's preliminary research, but they said that a certain percentage of people carry a specific gene that makes certain foods like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and vegetables in general, most of these heart-healthy vegetables taste bitter, and they don't want to eat it because it doesn't taste right.
Yeah, but my taste buds evolved throughout the years. When I was a kid, I hated squash, I hated Brussels sprouts, I hated broccoli, I hated peas, and now I eat all that stuff.
I eat none of it. I still have the diet of a 9-year-old.
Yeah, you do.
That's what I still have. I'm proud of that.
Really?
And they say that those carrying this taste gene are much more likely to have a harder time incorporating, obviously, vegetables into their diet. They say it impacts roughly 25% of the public suffer from this gene mutation, if you will.
I wonder if that works out for alcohol, too. Because my palate for alcohol has changed over the last 10 to 15 years.
You love the booze now.
No, but I went from, I guess, beer when I was younger to Red Bull and vodka to Bombay Sapphire and tonic, and now I'm on a whiskey and scotch.
Yeah. Well, you just like to. It's for social reasons. You like the taste of alcohol? Who likes the taste of alcohol?
Yeah, certain things are just good, man. I enjoy them. Wine's tasty. Sake's really good. We'll talk about that when we go to Japan next year.
Yeah, well, when we get paid by the Chamber of Commerce in Japan, which will be after I get paid to go to New Zealand and hang out with our friends in New Zealand and all that. All right, more of these studies. It's Study this portion of the podcast, brought to you by nobody. Shark food. All right, shark food. Scientists are testing shark bite-proof wetsuit material. It's made from fabrics that incorporate ultra-high molecular weight polythene fibers, whatever that is. I think I butchered that one of those words. But they claim, and it's early in the research, that this will reduce the amount of bleeding when you get bitten by that great white shark when you're swimming out in the ocean.
It's great. It's exactly what I want to have.
How would you like to be one of the people that test it, though? Don't you have to have this on and have a shark bite you to find out whether or not it works? No? I don't know. How else would you test it? I guess you could put it on, you know, robots and have things bite down, but it's not the same.
You could have different cutting hardware to rip up the attire too, right? Rocks, yeah. Scissors, knives. What else can you have? I don't know. Some teeth from an animal.
Put it in a wood chipper.
Oh, you could do that.
Yeah. All right. The last one. Money matters. All right. Money
especially for you.
This is actually something we talked about the other day at our meal in Riverside. Husbands are not stressed out. They're the least stressed out. But they're the least stressed out when their wives earn up to 40% of the household income, meaning that the wives are carrying their weight and providing some money. So it's not all the guy coming with the income and all that. But the study indicated that these men become increasingly uncomfortable as the amount of money their wives make, their spouses make, when their wives' wages rise beyond the 40% threshold, the guys become most stressed out when they are entirely economically dependent on their wife.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can believe that. Do you have any friends that that married up, though? Do you have any friends that...
Yes. I there's a guy I've worked with in radio that married his wife makes more money than him and all that. So I think there's other people, too, but that's the one. Yeah. There's one guy in particular. But this is the thing, man. I love that my wife works and all that. I wouldn't mind if she made more money, to be honest with you, because I'm always paranoid working in radio that I'm going to get stabbed in the back and the song and dance is going to come to an end.
It's like casino. You get the bats and the cornfields and then you're game over.
Yeah, I feel like it's insurance. You're like, I can just live off her for a while if I have to bury my head in the sand and all that.
There's a sense of attractiveness when a female, when an opposite sex is not only pulling their own weight, but also making more too. I think it's attractive when a woman is just
I bet you do.
Hustling and making money and earning it. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Especially if they're using their potential. I think that's huge.
Now what if a woman said to you, Gascon, I make so much money. I do not want you to go do these little high school football games. I don't want that.
I had that in my 20s.
You did?
Yeah, there's always like that one that you probably should have married or probably should have had. And in my 20s, before I got into sports casting, even though I wanted to do it, I was in real estate. But I was dating someone for a long period of time. She was really wealthy, was connected to some prominent people. And I had a set life. And I elected to leave the career, leave the woman of the relationship, and then went back to grad school. And then... yeah, I started working for iHeartRadio part-time, making $10 an hour. How about that?
The rest is history, Gascon. The rest is history. You're living the dream.
Oh, it's the hustle, man.
You can make more working at Jack in the Box, but you're living the dream.
I could be an in-and-out manager making $125,000 a year.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, there's a guy at the gym that worked for In-N-Out for years.
Yeah.
And not to, I love In-N-Out, but his story, he worked there for years, and he claimed... once he got to a certain point where his salary got ridiculously high, he got whacked. They got rid of him.
I could see that.
So I guess it happens even in the fast food game. That usually happens in radio. You're fine as long as you make a certain amount of money, but if you go over that threshold, you got problems.
Oh, that's why I've tried to diverse the portfolio into radio and TV and digital and even podcasting. So
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's in the bag. These are listener messages. This is a ripoff of Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers. And here it is, in the bag. Dave from Medford, Oregon writes, and he says, what was the first poster in your bedroom? First poster in your bedroom that you remember? I probably had some superhero poster, Dave, but the first sports poster I remember, I had a Reggie Jackson poster, the old Hall of Fame slugger from back in the day.
Angel, Yankee, what was
Mr. October. Okay. I think he was with the Angels at that point, but I had a Reggie Jackson. What about you, Gascon? You probably like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, maybe Power Rangers.
Cartoon was a Transformer poster, like probably Optimus Prime or Jazz. Yeah.
Sure.
Or for professional athletes, I probably had a John Elway poster or two. I got a lot of Denver Bronco attire, like Elway's helmet, autographed, authentic, a jersey, a throwback one that's been signed.
Well, I like the throwback Bronco helmet, which is better than the current Bronco helmet.
Those are good. I got a Vince Scully jersey, like on the Dodgers jersey, it just says Scully in the back of the microphone.
We're not asking. I don't think Dave's asking for your memorabilia commercials.
Well, this is a podcast. Or history, we're able to kind of freelance. I don't have to go by his rules.
Wow.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, okay.
Let me elaborate a little bit.
Want to get into a pissing match? I have baseballs from the World Series. You want those? I got those.
I hope it's not from 2017.
Well, it's actually from 2018.
Worse. What the hell's wrong with you?
No, it was from the game they won.
Anyway.
All right. All Night Mike from Tucson, Arizona writes in. He says, with the holidays coming up, what's an appropriate gift to get your girlfriend if you've been dating less than a year? And how much do I spend on her?
Lingerie, baby. I'm all good about lingerie for a woman, yes.
No, women love the lingerie. I think the lingerie does more for the woman than the man, I believe.
I think anytime if she's – lingerie is good. Some bottoms for pajamas are always good with a nice sweater, depending on the state that you live in. I know East Coast, if you do some Uggs are great. Gloves, of course, are great. Beanies are good. Lotion is fantastic for women. Anything else, dating advice you need, Ben, or –
Yeah, see, my advice would be, All Night Mike, you're supposed to break up with your girlfriend now, before the holidays, before Thanksgiving and Christmas, because then it gets awkward, and then you probably should stay broken up until mid-February and then get back together with her.
Mid-February?
Because that's when Valentine's Day is, so you want to avoid Valentine's Day. So you got to get through Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Valentine's Day. So you should be single from late November, dump your girlfriend just before Thanksgiving. That way you don't have to worry about meeting the family and meeting her family. So you avoid that. You dodge that bullet. Then you dodge Christmas. And then in January, you got football playoffs, so you don't have to worry about your girlfriend taking your attention from you. And then in February, you've got Valentine's Day. So you wait the day after Valentine's Day. So, I was thinking about you. And then you get back together. Boom, done.
Well, see, here's the luxury, though, is that if you've been dating her for a long period of time, then you could be on the outs, because once the New Year's Eve hits, she'll be thinking new year, new me. And you'll be on the move if you have not proposed to her anytime soon. So
yeah, that's true. But most people's New Year's resolutions, they like 3 days later, they're back to doing what they said they wouldn't do.
I could safely say I've been a part of that statistic. So I can pledge to maybe hold on a little too long before you get ousted. So
I love that you had a whole list of things to get your girlfriend. You've clearly had a lot of girlfriends over the years.
I know how to treat women. I know how to take care of them.
I don't know about
that. Women take care of me. I'll take care of them. Right. Nothing wrong with that.
All right. No lifetime contracts for you, though. You've not agreed to a lifetime contract with a woman?
Okay. What do you want from me?
I want nothing. I want nothing at all.
I could be designated as Mr. Right now, just not Mr. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Mark in Ottawa writes and says, if you had to choose one of these food items to eat for the rest of your life, which one would it be? And he lists three things here, Mark in Ottawa. He says, hamburger, hot dog, or pizza. Now, to me, this is easy. I you love List Radio, Gascon, so this is great.
Yeah.
You got to put hot dog number three.
Yes.
Now, I like a hot dog, but I can't be eating hot dogs the rest of my life. So that's number three. I'd put hamburger at number two.
All right.
Pizza's number one, because there's so many different ways you can have a pizza with the toppings on top as you choose. So if you're only going to eat one food item the rest of your life, you choose pizza because you can make amazing combinations of toppings, and so it's kind of like you're eating other things on top of the pizza.
That's true, and I agree with that list, especially because we have the great cities of Chicago and New York, so those pizzas are good. Out here in California, ours are a little bit different.
We have Kirkland brand pizza, which is wonderful.
We got Mexican pizza, too.
New York pizza is overrated. Chicago pizza is pretty good, but New York pizza is overrated. Boston's actually got some good pizza places, which is surprising to some.
Would you consider a calzone pizza or no?
I do not.
No?
I do not. Just like I don't consider a taco, a sandwich, no.
All right. But, yeah, I'll go with that list, too, because, pizza's right up there. You can have anything. Thin crust, deep dish. Long and greasy are the New York style, but whatever. Yeah. I'm good with
that.
You can
have veggies on top, barbecued chicken. You can do that. You can do the meat, whatever you want.
Hawaiian style.
I know you like the meat. I know you like that.
I'm a meat-based kind of guy, yeah.
Jason from Parts Unknown says, what's Gascon's favorite list? All right, go ahead, Gascon.
Favorite list?
Yeah.
I don't have a favorite list. What do you mean favorite list?
Well, you do List Radio. You're the OG. old gangster of List Radio.
No, your colleague, Colin Cowherd, actually does that television format, and that kind of leads you into what you do for the night for your monologue. You take whatever sound bites he generates, and then you bleed that into your opening monologue.
That's right. It is a travesty of justice in sports radio, but I just pretty much steal all of my material from Colin Cowherd.
It's the luxury of having everything podcasted, so you can kind of go back.
It's great. I don't do any prep. I just watch Cowherd's show. I scribble down a couple of notes, and then I just roll in here and let it rip. That's how I do it. Yeah. It's a good way to do it.
The most nauseous lists of all time got to be the top 10 teams of all time or the top 10 quarterbacks of all time.
No, you're wrong.
Top 10 defenses.
We are heading in next week is Thanksgiving. I don't know if we're going to do a podcast. Oh. Are we doing a podcast next week?
I thought we were supposed to do it at a designated fire station. I have a buddy of mine, Patrick, in Norwalk, Station 20, I think it is. We can maybe go over there.
Well, I don't know if logistically that'll work out, but I would like to point out that we are heading in, and maybe we'll do a segment on this, holiday sports radio. What to look forward to on holiday sports radio. I do this rant on radio, but the podcast guys need to hear it also. And there's certain things you hear Thanksgiving week and Christmas week, and it's a checklist to determine whether your talk show host is prepared or is just doing layup line radio.
Yeah.
Mailing it in, baby, like Manny Machado in the World Series. Mailing it in, baby. So anyway, all right. Mark in New Hampshire says, why is gas can such a fuck up? It's a good question.
Define fuck up.
He did not define fuck up.
Then he's a fuck up.
Okay. Very nice way to treat a listener there.
Who cares? What did he do?
He's in New Hampshire, man. Come on. The guy's a P1.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
Sean in Oceanside says, what's your favorite type of pie to indulge in for the holidays? It's a good question.
That's good.
Kind of pie. I'm always banana cream pie. Once I crossed over to banana cream pie, it's always number one. But I love a nice apple pie a la mode with a scoop of a vanilla ice cream on top. Obviously, traditionally, Thanksgiving's more about the pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
You feel more like Thanksgiving with the pumpkin pie, although I don't usually celebrate Thanksgiving anymore, so I don't have much pumpkin pie. But you have that. But my big two are banana cream, apple. Anything else?
My grandmother, Martha, God rest her soul, she was a Mexican woman, and it was all about tamales, enchiladas, quesadillas during the holidays. But for some reason, Ben, she would make this absolutely amazing apricot pie, and we never had it warm. She would always have it like cold to almost getting out of the freezer, but she would douse it with sugar. And it was amazing. It was one of the best pies I've ever had. I like strawberry pie. I like Boston cream pie. But apricot pie straight from when I was a kid with my grandmother, it was dynamite.
Well, that's nostalgia. Yeah. That's pure nostalgia.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, it's fine. But I'm saying if you didn't have that when you were a kid, you probably would be, as a grown-up, you'd be like, oh, that's all right.
I had it as a grown-up.
You ever had prune pie?
No, never.
Gives you the runs.
I don't like apple. Everything gives you the runs now. It doesn't fucking count. Prunes, you can't digest anything.
No, actually, that's the problem, man. Everyone told me I can't. I've had more constipation, Gaskin. I know you're curious about that than I have. I wish I had the other problem. I was like, this is great. I can eat whatever I want. It'll run right through me. It hasn't happened.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I know. I'm like in the 1% of people that had their gallbladder ripped out, and it hasn't really affected anything.
I don't think you should be trying it on a regular basis, though, for a couple different reasons. One is to remain out of the hospital.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. No, on the weekends, I'm in the middle of a fast right now. I'm doing a 45 hour fast. I did a 54 hour fast. Didn't eat from Sunday afternoon until Tuesday night or earlier this week. So, what are you sighing for?
You're losing a lot of weight. I'm happy for you.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. I love doing it. I don't mind not eating as long as I get my water. I'm fine. It's not for everybody. I get it. Not for everybody.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We have Jose repping the 956. I think that's in like Laredo, Texas, I believe, the 956, Brownsville, Texas, if I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. But from the 956, he says, with the holidays coming up, guys, will you or Gagon, Ben, be doing any Black Friday shopping?
No.
I will not. Now, my wife and I, what we usually had done for like a holiday gift is we would buy something for the Maller Mansion. We'd buy like a new, very adult, grown-up, boring thing to do. We'd buy like a new microwave or a dishwasher or something like that. But we're trying to save some money, so I don't think we'll be buying anything. Although that is the best day to buy a television, Black Friday. If, if you need a new television, you got to be out there sprinting at the door of Walmart when they open. Although Black Friday doesn't even start on Friday anymore, Gaskin. It doesn't start like – it starts like Thanksgiving morning or even before that, these Black Friday deals.
But in today's digital age, aren't you usually shopping on Amazon Prime now?
Yeah, but some stores have only in-store deals. Like you have to go pick up the item in the store. So they have that.
Yeah, I'm kind of up Schitt's Creek too because most of my family is all female. So
That's tough when you have all women.
Yeah, I got a bunch of sisters and mom's got a bunch of sisters and I got a bunch of nieces, no nephews. Uh-huh. It's tough. It's tough sledding for me. And then all your female listeners that I got to give gifts for too. So it's a challenge.
You know, the listener host relationship, you don't actually have to give gifts. To women.
Well,
just because women listen to the show, and very few women listen to sports radio, you don't have to give every woman who lives in a jerkwater town a gift.
Yeah,
you don't have to do it.
But when your listeners specifically listen to your show for me, it's a little bit different.
Well, that doesn't happen. We know that doesn't
happen. That's not true.
Okay. All right, a lot of questions. I want to get to most of these if we can. This is from Big O, listening to the podcast in Columbus, Ohio, the home of The Ohio State University. Nice. Says, if the moon was made out of spare ribs, would you eat it? The spare rib, not anti-spare rib, but if it was made out of chicken fingers, Big O, I would devour it. If it was made out of like a cheeseburger or a Philly cheesesteak, I'm all about that action, boss. I don't think I would devour a moon made out of spare ribs. What about you, Gaskin?
Baby back ribs for sure.
Baby back ribs. What if it was made out of a blooming onion? Would you eat that?
Yeah, absolutely. From Outback? Absolutely.
As long as the sauce was in the middle of the moon.
Of course.
Dip.
Got to dip it in, baby.
Gotta do the dip, man.
That's right.
All right, Jay from Kentucky writes in and says, Ben, if you were banned from radio or talking about sports in general, where do you see yourself working tomorrow? Okay, I would do traffic updates. Is what I would do.
Shout out iHeart LA.
I would work for the traffic bureau. No, I don't know. I've thought about being in real estate. I think you can make a lot of money if you're good at it, and I think that would be fun. I could have some fun. I know some people I work with in radio that have gone into real estate. Remember John Fricke?
Yeah.
Who's a talk show host. He used to work at Fox. He's in Atlanta. He does radio, but he also sells real estate on the side.
Yeah. That's what I did before I got into this racket.
People have said I should become a lawyer.
No.
There's a lot of lawyers. Most of them don't make any money.
You got to pay $1,000 just to take the bar exam out here in California.
But most people pass the bar.
No, they don't. Not the first try.
They do. 60,000 people a year become lawyers.
Yeah, but it's not on the first try. That's what I'm saying. So you're spending a grand just to take the bar exam. You'll probably fail it on your first try.
No, I'm not a failure like you. You don't have any faith in me. You're such a
hater. I do
have
faith in you. You even said you keep all your old rejection emails and
I have a box in my childhood bedroom. Yeah. May my mom rest in peace. She never threw it out. And it has a box of rejection letters from radio stations that Ted told me I wasn't good enough to work at the radio station.
There you go. So you failed.
By the way,
you failed.
One of those was WEEI, which I've worked for twice.
Oh, you got
over
fired
the years.
From twice?
I've worked for them twice. The station in Seattle, KJR, we're on. I've been on there for years. Several other stations around the country that I wanted to work at, they would never hire me. And they've now, of course, hired me, so screw you.
It's amazing how much you can really pat yourself on the back during a podcast. It's absolutely amazing.
Kind of like talking about how many gifts you buy people like that during a podcast.
I'm a giver.
How great you are with women, that kind of thing.
I accommodate your female listeners. You accommodate the male. I accommodate the female.
Okay. I don't know if you know this, but sports radio is about the dudes, all right? It's all about the dudes.
It's entertainment radio. That's what
not really. Is that what this is? Yeah, we don't really talk about sports much. I don't think we've mentioned anything sports-related on this.
Sports with Coleman. That's what we mentioned.
Yeah, we did mention sports with Coleman. All right, more questions. What would you do, Gaskin, if you were banned from – well, you're not kind of barely in radio, but if you were banned from it
– Yeah, I'd probably try to do a podcast.
You do a podcast. Would you try to get paid for the podcast or just do it for free, like pro bono?
I would definitely get paid for it. So I would definitely make that happen. Real estate's always an option. PR is an option.
Yeah, PR.
Firefighter could be an option.
Yeah, getting too old for that. You're almost.
I'm 60. In great shape, though. What's wrong with you?
You're almost 60.
That's but I could old, I could bench press a Buick.
Yeah,
but, maybe leg press.
I'm not looking for guys like you to be firefighters, you know?
No.
No, that's what I hear. John from
I could take some glamour shots.
Well, you've already done that. Oh. How embarrassing is that?
What do you mean it's embarrassing? You had a woman put makeup on you for a high school football game last week.
A global broadcast on the Fox Sports Go app, which is available globally. I mean, come on. That's internet. That's not just local yokel cable television like I used to do back in the day. That's big time. Every man, woman, and child all watching, right? They're on a mission to watch. Watch that. That's long established. Anyway, what was it? John from Parts Unknown says, will you vote for Andrew Yang for president? Ben, he'll give you $1,000 extra every month, and your wife, too. That's an extra $24,000 a year.
Yeah.
That's from John. Well, listen, I Andrew Yang, I don't hate the guy. Seems like a cool guy and all that, but I can't vote for any of these politicians, any of the Democrats that are promising to give you everything, because I grew up learning there is no free lunch.
Yeah.
That's going to come from somebody. They're going to raise your taxes. They're gonna screw some people over to get that money. So it's not like all of a sudden you're a magician, an abracadabra as a politician. Here's an extra $1,000 a month. That money's got to come somewhere, from somewhere. And so that's my problem. I feel like you've got to earn your money. I don't like being given things in general unless I earn them. And so I will not, but I do enjoy him on TV. He's a good interview. He's a slick talker. I think he's a nice guy, but I disagree with him. But isn't he doing that, though, because he thinks that all these jobs are going to go away anyway?
Yeah.
And it'll be all robots, and so you need to be paid by the government?
Everything's automation sooner or later.
All right. Blake in Miami says, what menu items differentiate a Thanksgiving dinner from a Christmas dinner?
Turkey?
Well, I do Hanukkah, so I don't know.
You
but
don't do
I am
Christmas?
Married to a shitza. So what?
You don't do Christmas?
Well, we have. Yeah, I mean, now, because I got married, but before that I didn't do when I was growing up, obviously I didn't do it. But as a grown-up, I put even Christmas lights up, and we have Hanukkah lights also, so we do both. We mix and match.
All right.
We mix and match. But what differentiates? So I would assume, like, the stuffing. Do you have stuffing on Christmas?
No.
You don't?
No.
So the stuffing, do you have yams on Christmas?
No.
All right, so yams.
Turkey? No.
You don't have turkey on Christmas?
No.
What, do you have ham?
I'll have ham, yeah.
Yeah.
Some roast beef.
Why not have a brisket? Wouldn't that be a good Christmas dinner?
Oh, yeah.
Brisket.
Absolutely.
That'd be solid.
You gotta
crank it up a couple notches.
You got to learn how to cook, though.
You got to learn how to cook? I know how to cook. I'm a fine cook. I cook a lot.
No.
Yeah.
No. There's a
reason. I chop the chicken. I do the whole thing. Yeah. I have, you know, my new thing is I've changed my diet. I used to eat a lot of meat. Now I'm trying to eat more chicken because apparently it's better for you. But the only way I can eat grilled chicken, which is, I used to eat just fried chicken.
Yeah.
The only way I can eat grilled chicken is I have to cut it up into little bite-sized pieces, right? So I get these chicken breasts, I pound the chicken breasts with a hammer, and then I have a kitchen scissors, and I have to cut it into like little pieces, and then I can eat grilled chicken, because if not, I can't eat it. I find it repulsive.
You are so bougie.
But no, I do it myself. It's not like other people do it. I know this is my neurosis, and I eat my grilled chicken that way.
And you won't go to a fine steakhouse, but you'll chop up poultry and then chew it into small little bits.
Bite-sized pieces.
That's embarrassing.
Fun size.
That is embarrassing.
No, it's not.
It's
good.
I hope iHeart Network like cancels this podcast.
That would be devastating to my bank account. It would help you out because you'd have more time to do whatever nonsense you're doing. Might be a soccer game somewhere you can broadcast. RJ writes in. He says he's from Parts Unknown. He says, what are y'all's Thanksgiving plans for this year? Well, I will be doing radio, RJ. I worked on Thanksgiving most years, but I will be in studio. It's a big football day. A big football day, and I'm kind of down on Thanksgiving. So I will be partaking in the gift of sports talk radio. That's what I'll be doing.
Yeah, I'll be stuck doing sports talk radio middle of the day. So we got the morning games, afternoon and evening time. And I got my family spread out. So part of them are in Canada. Other parts are in Alabama, Florida, Texas. Kind of wanted to go to New York, but I'm stuck in Southern California for
Thanksgiving. Yeah, you're stuck in Southern California. Yeah. Nightmare of nightmares.
70-degree weather, sandals.
Horrible.
Got to work.
All right, one more real quick. Derek the Chef from Auckland, New Zealand.
Nice.
Listens to the podcast. Like this is actually one of these good questions. Would you rather your parents or your wife be able to read your thoughts?
Oh, fuck.
That's a good question. Now, I'm going to go my parents. I'm going to tell you why. Because my wife would analyze every thought I had.
Yeah, she's
okay?
good.
She's a deep thinker and intellectual and all that, in that department. So she would, like, examine everything. She'd give me therapy. My dad wouldn't pay any attention to my thoughts. My mom's, she's gone, unfortunately. But my dad wouldn't even spend a second concerned about my thoughts.
The real reason is because your wife is a ball buster, too. So she would absolutely crush you if she could read some of the thoughts that you have swirling around the dome.
So. All right, we got to put the baby to bed, Gascon. So we'll do Don't Stick to Sports Stories of the Week. Give me a couple of these stories here. And because you came in late here, we have to put the baby to bed. But these are stories that aren't about sports. Of course, this whole podcast apparently is not about sports, but what do we have today, guys?
How about this one? A civil jury has awarded $58 million to 10 plaintiffs who actually sued a donation facility, Biological Resource Center in Arizona, because basically what they were doing was that they would take these. It's kind of what that story that we talked about, I think, before this podcast launched, but this company basically sold corpses. And they used it for experimental purposes without the family's consent. So yeah. I don't know if you remember that, but the corpses were used for testing against IEDs.
Yes. Yeah, that was the mom got blown up, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Without permission. So that was pretty damn good. I don't know if you remember that. That was a couple months ago. That was before we had a gallbladder.
Yeah, you love that story. You kept sending me that story. That was like your favorite story. You hate moms. You like moms being blown up, apparently.
It had nothing to do with that whatsoever. I thought it was just appropriate that someone was getting getting hammered for using bodies as anything else than cremating or putting 6 feet under. So nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the video. Usually you are, I don't know if it's you or your wife. It's all about voyeurism. But an Arkansas police officer suspended for dancing naked in a nightclub. Read about that?
No, I don't know. I assume it's a dude.
Yeah,
I don't normally go out. I know you like to see men dance naked, but I normally don't go out of my way. I don't cozy up to that like you do.
I really don't discriminate between a male or a female dancing.
I understand that. You're all encompassing, especially when they're naked.
I don't know what you're talking about.
See that thing flying around in the air? You like that? Yeah.
We gotta get the hell out of here.
That's it?
Yes, it's like prom night for you. It's cut short.
All right.
I finished early.
Well, very disappointing, Gascon, just like your prom date. All right, very nice. Sweet as honey and all that stuff. All right, thank you very much. There it is, another edition of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. Don't forget to download the Benny versus the Penny podcast, which plausibly will be made available for your dancing and dining pleasure a little bit later. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on the Magic Radio Box on Sunday night into Monday with all the big stories of the NFL weekend. And thank you for subscribing. Tell your friends about the podcast. Tell your friends, and we'll catch you next time.